What's going on, guys? Welcome into today's show. I've got a great guest in Taylor Willingham. As you all know, we talk about building businesses, generating cash flow, unlocking financial freedom, creating more net worth, building a real legacy through entrepreneurship, through investing. But what is often a forgotten conversation in a lot of these communities, these podcasts, these groups, is how to properly set up and protect the wealth, the businesses, the income, the net worth that you are working so hard to generate. In addition to, how do you pass on the strategies, the stories, the most important things that you want to accompany your estate for future generations to remember, to uphold? And that is a topic that many don't discuss around posterity planning. And Taylor is one of the utmost experts in estate plans in the United States, doing over 10,000 estate plans. He has worked with some of the wealthiest and richest families in the U.S. Specifically, his focus is in Texas, but a lot of his strategy, his discussion is stuff that applies to estate planning, obviously nationwide. And he really dug into a topic that I thought was equally as important on how to protect your assets and how to pass those on and how to create a better legacy. But he talked about posterity planning, and he'll break down exactly what that is. But when you have a proper estate plan in addition to posterity planning at the same time, this is something that I believe is the formula for passing along true generational wealth, not just what comes in forms of dollars and cents, but family IP, stories, strategies, values. And we dig into this conversation because honestly, it's something that is so important to me. Equally as important as passing along the money, the wealth, the assets is this posterity planning. And I was very intrigued by this discussion. So I think for anybody, no matter what stage you're at, it's important to, as you go out and build your businesses, build your bank account, build your assets and your balance sheet, that you're also thinking about how are you protecting this along the way, as well as what is this going to look like from a succession plan to pass this off to your kids, to family members, to do it in a successful and healthy way that mitigates how much they have to pay in taxes, that, you know, make sure that you're passing along those things in a productive way that sets them up for success versus what you see and hear in a lot of estate plans where kids get all kinds of money and they squander it away or they use it to ruin their life by doing certain things. And this is where this posterity planning piece comes into play. So I think you guys are really going to enjoy this conversation no matter where you're at in your wealth building trajectory or timeline, whether you're just beginning, whether you're in the middle of it, whether you're coming to the end, all very relevant and applicable. And most importantly, some intriguing stuff on the posterity planning that can complement creating true generational wealth and passing this legacy along. So without any further ado, let's dig into today's episode with Taylor Willingham.
Let's take a quick break and hear from today's show sponsor.
Are you struggling to close deals? Cold outreach can be a slow and brutal process, and in many scenarios, it's just wasting the time of both the buyer and the seller, especially when business owners who are trying to find qualified buyers are using inaccurate and outdated data. But it doesn't have to be this way. With LinkedIn Sales Navigator, your organization can overcome these challenges by leveraging this amazing technology and platform that translates comprehensive, high-quality buyer data into real-time insights and sales. These deeper insights empower sales reps and teams to adopt the habits of top performers, which leads to much better outcomes like building a bigger pipeline with real customers, leading to higher win rates and conversions, and of course, larger deals and paydays all around. We call this deep sales, and LinkedIn has built the first deep sales platform with the next generation of LinkedIn Sales Navigator. Right now, our Millionaire Mindcast family has an amazing opportunity to try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/mindcast. That's linkedin.com/mindcast for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/mindcast and get started. I'm excited to welcome you to the show, Taylor Willingham. How are we doing, man?
I'm doing great.
We're obviously on this show always talking about how to build empires. And I'm sure as you run into in your world quite often, not many people always think about as they're building their empire, protecting it, let alone passing it on to the next generation or generations behind them. So I'm excited for our conversation today. Before we jump in here, I was curious, what was it about getting into estate planning that, you know, really struck your fancy for a career?
So it started when I was in law school. I was going to basically drop out because I was like, oh, I didn't realize how boring the law really is. And so I was stuck there. And my dad said, why don't you give it one more semester? And the next semester that I went into, my professor was the first lively, fun person that I ever ran into in the legal world. And he was so good at teaching that I fell in love with it. So not only did I stay, but I went and got a master's in personal finance because I was like, I want to be an estate planning attorney. That's what I want to do. And so that's kind of how it all kind of just went for me. Just like I think most people, someone inspires you and then you get sucked into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to make sure that we are extracting as much value from our conversation today, knowing that you have done over 10,000 estate plans. You have worked with massively successful companies, business owners, high net worth individuals. So I want to, you know, make sure that we touch on some key things from your perspective that are important for those types of individuals to think about and to know about as they build their own estate plans. From your perspective, do you mind sharing some insights into just in the beginning stages, right? What is the importance of estate planning, asset preservation, especially for business owners and high net worth individuals from your perspective?
Yeah, so it's very interesting because people will come into me all the time and go, and I'll be talking to them and I'll go, well, how much do you spend on insurance, you know, every month? And usually business owners, it's very high, it's thousands of dollars. But I'm like, but you've done no actual planning for when you can't run things. Like you're either going to pass away or you're going to become incapacitated. Those are the two outcomes of most of our lives. But you've never sat down and really thought about it and put together like a game plan of what should happen. And that's the thing that's hard for business owners to really understand is like, yours is very complicated, your situation. If something happens to you, you got a little mini empire that you're running. And everybody depends upon you. And if there's nothing in place to kind of tell other people what to do, how to handle certain situations, that empire falls apart pretty quickly. And so it is one of the hardest things to do because no one wants to sit down and plan for when they're not going to be around.
Yeah.
But it is probably the most important thing because way back in the day, I wrote a book called Why Should I Care? I'll Be Dead. Because that's what people would always say right. to me. And so, but it's like, well, what are you doing every day? Like, why are you building such a massive empire if you don't want to leave it to somebody and to pass it on to other people? Like, retire, take the money and enjoy your life. You clearly are trying to build for something. And that's what your estate planning is. Okay, what is that legacy that I want to live?
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned something earlier around when you and I were talking around kind of the history of estate planning and why it's important and how some of the most successful individuals on planet Earth over generations have executed on this particular strategy. Like what is the importance of, you know, at least that you've pulled out of, you know, some of these historical figures and how they've leveraged it and how you're bringing that into kind of your world and how you educate people on similar practices?
Yeah. So I watched your last podcast and you talked about clarity. And I remember very, when I was researching some of the history, when that principle popped up to me, very clear that it was one of these things that successful people seem to always do. They had clarity of purpose. They had an objective that they were shooting for. And it was when I was researching Octavius. Octavius is the first emperor of Rome. Before Octavius, Rome was it was a republic. And most people know about Julius Caesar being killed. Well, Julius Caesar's heir was Octavius. And when he took over, he had a clear purpose. He wanted the civil wars to stop. He wanted Rome to be stabilized. And he put all of his energy into those objectives. And he was the one that laid clear foundations of succession in the Roman Empire about how power would be transferred. And he did this with a couple of other individuals. Mark Antony is the other famous one in history. Now, Mark Antony and him, they have alliance. They conquer much of Rome. They take control. Now, him and Mark Antony, they get into a war and they fight it out, and Mark Antony loses. And when I was researching this, I found it interesting because the purpose, the goal, or the objective of Octavius was to stabilize Rome. And he achieved that because other people believed in his message and in what he was going after. He was able to communicate that to Rome, to the people around him, and most importantly, to his military leaders. Mark Antony seemed to just want to be remembered as a great military leader. And I'm sure he had some of those goals too, but he couldn't communicate that as well as Octavius. And so when they eventually went to war against each other, Octavius won. And so it was one of these things that I was like, well, it seems that successful people have this ability to not only be very clear in their own mind what their objective is, but they can communicate that to other people, and other people believe in it too. And they're willing to come and be on their side and help them achieve that goal.
Yeah. And obviously through some of those historical lessons, right, we can pull some of those breadcrumbs and clues into our own business plans, our life plans. I know that you talk with a lot of different people around, you know, estate planning. What are some of the most common misconceptions people have around estate planning, and how do you address those with them?
Another book that I wrote was Do I Need a Will or a Trust? Because everybody assumes that wills and trusts are the same thing. Because they're often talked about together. And so wills and trusts are both documents that we can use to transition property to the next generation, but they're different in what they actually achieve. A will is a document that tells us two main things: who's going to be in charge when you pass away. So a lot of people just worry about, oh, I just need to leave my property to people. Well, there's also things that need to be wrapped up and things that need to be handled. We call that an executor. So who you're going to put in charge, and number two, where you want your property to go. And that's really what a will is. It just tells us those two things. A trust is very different in its actual objective, what it does. Trusts take property and they divide the interest in property between the legal interest holder and the beneficial interest holder. And just so I don't get too technical with people, that's what we call a trustee. Someone who manages the property is the legal interest holder, and the beneficiary is the one who gets the benefit of it. And so that's what a trust is. And so, you know, my worst enemy right now is becoming like TikTok or online guys that will get up there and they talk about, you need this trust. Well, I did a presentation once, and in 10 minutes, I wrote out 50 different trusts that could come off the top of my head. There are thousands of different types of trusts. Trusts aren't just one way you do it. There's so many different concepts for so many different reasons, because there's so many reasons why you separate that interest in property between someone that you want to manage things and someone that you want to benefit by it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the key things that people struggle with, is understanding that wills and trusts are very different in what they do and what they're used for.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I've heard you talk about posterity planning. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit more about what is that and how does that differ from traditional estate planning approaches?
Yeah, so one of my big aha moments or kind of realizing when I was doing things is realizing that people aren't really concerned about the property. They're concerned about the relationships that they have developed throughout their life. That's really their main concern when they're coming to see me. I want to make sure that my kids aren't fighting with each other, or, you know, second marriage now. I want to make sure that my wife is taken care of or my husband's taken care of. And then I want my property to go to my kids. Those relationships that they spend. So posterity planning was this concept that I developed that you're leaving more than just your property. Throughout history, you know, I would consider the thing that has affected history or people more hasn't been the emperors and the empires. Just let's go back once again to the same time period you got with Octavius. Well, two people were born in Octavius's empire that affected the world far more than he ever did. Seneca and Jesus Christ. They were born probably around the same year, 4 BC. And those two didn't leave large assets or large amounts of money. They left, you know, their teachings that they had, you know, distilled to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so posterity planning became along this idea that it isn't just about the money you leave. It's also the lessons, the stories, the things about yourself, and that we live in this kind of transition period of our lives right now. And that is before the current time period that we're in, it was very difficult to leave your story.
Yeah.
You know, you have all these podcasts that you've done. As long as the internet is going to be up and running, people for thousands of years could be watching what you have to say. And that's something very different to think about, because we don't have that really from the past. We have very few writings from people. And so what you are sending out there is going to probably be around for a very, very long time. And that is the idea of posterity planning. Is it's more than just the money, the assets. It's also this legacy of what you're teaching, what you're sharing with the world, and projecting that out.
I love that. Now, I'm curious on the mechanics of how that looks. So I'll give you an example. I've lost three out of my four grandparents in the last 12 months. And one of the things that I was saying to my dad the other day when we were walking through their house is, you know, kind of once their assets are disposed of or, you know, transitioned accordingly, there's not a lot beyond the physical, right? The real assets, the tangible assets, the money. But then I was like, man, what would be even so much cooler is to be able to take their life lessons, the things that, you know, they want to leave, whether it's stories or pictures or, you know, skills or certain strategies that serve them well. Like when you say that posterity planning, like what does that look like in addition to a complementary, you know, physical estate plan? What does that posterity planning kind of asset look like in your perspective?
So I take a lot, some of my clients that want to do this, not everybody wants to do this, but we will get them filmed and telling their story about themselves. But also we focus heavily upon like the grandparents, like your grandfather. Were you close to your grandparents?
Yeah. All my grandparents, I was. Yeah, I was lucky.
And so have you ever sat down and did you ever maybe film them at all and tell their stories at all?
I actually did. I interviewed one on a podcast and another one we did for like a group project in college. So I've gotten fortunate enough that I've got some of those things that I don't think many people have been fortunate enough to grab from their lineage.
And so have you posted it out there or your podcast?
It's all of that stuff I kind of kept internal, but I used kind of the platform I had to at least, or the resources I had to, you know, plug them into that and take advantage of it.
So sometime in the future, I'd highly encourage you to share it out and attach it to their ancestry or .com or something like that. So I did that with my grandfather.
Mm.
I had him, and I didn't really know much about his parents. You know, they had died many years before me.
Yep.
And so I filmed my grandfather telling about his grandmother. My great grandfather, his father, committed suicide during the Great Depression. And he was only 7 years old at the time. So he didn't know his father very well, but his mother raised 12 children by herself. And, you know, and I heard this story about this woman, and her name is Emma Earl Willingham, and what she did. And it was just mind-boggling for me to sit there and listen to all the things she had to do. And every one of her children became millionaires.
Wow.
She raised just 12 outstanding people. And so I took her whole story. I put it together. I put it up on YouTube and I connected it to her ancestry.com. And I will get, you know, I got one phone call one day from an old lady, and she says, yeah, Emma was, you know, I was the daughter of her sister who died the year before her husband died. And she also helped raise me. And so she tells me this story, and I was like, wow. And I was like, unbelievable person. And then just recently, last year, I got someone messaged me saying, hey, apparently, you know, my great grandmother is Emma Earl Willingham. I saw that this video you did of her. Thank you so much. And so it was incredible to be able to connect with, you know, my ancestors in such a way, because you realize what they sacrificed for you to have. Like, I'm sure there's some stories that your grandparents that they did for you that propelled you forward in your life.
Yeah, 100%. I love I haven't heard too many estate planning, you know, organizations talk about that, posterity planning. And I guess depending on what you put more value on, you know, this one is equally, if not more valuable to some people, is knowing, you know, your history, where you came from, the stories, who, all the ripple effects of, you know, relationships, like that woman being raised by her, like just stuff like that's really cool to me. And then at the same time, right, I know people want to just get down to brass tacks and say, hey, how am I protecting my estate? How am I, you know, setting up future generations? You know, talking about that process, it can be very comprehensive. It can be very robust and, you know, cumbersome to a lot of people. But in simple terms, for somebody that, you know, knows they need to do it at some point, or knows they need to optimize it, or maybe wants to know that they're doing it the right way, can you walk us through the kind of key steps involved in setting up a proper estate, and, you know, how that can benefit them immediately and in the long term?
Yeah. So when I'm meeting with somebody, the first two things I'm trying to really identify are, what do you own? What are your assets? Because depending on the asset is going to determine what things that we need to do. But on the second token are the relationships, because the relationships are the thing that's going to really determine more than anything. Because today we have a lot of issues, like we have blended families that create a lot of problems, because you have two different families that when someone dies, you know, they're held together by this person who was the kind of the bridge. Now they separate. And so I have a lot of people, you know, when they're coming in, that's what I'm identifying. I'm going through those steps and then finding out really what their goals and objectives are. And so once I get that, okay, now I understand what your goals and objectives. I tell people it's going to be a little overwhelming because there's a lot of documents. There, you know, when you go and get your estate plan done by an estate planning attorney, usually you're going to be leaving. I mean, if you do simple stuff, just like basic stuff, of course, you know, there's like five documents, but most people are leaving my office with around 13 to 20 different documents. And so it's a little overwhelming when you get that. And I say, I don't want you to worry about all that, because I went through a whole semester of wills and trusts. And I felt like after I was done with that class, I was more confused than when I went into the class, because I felt like I had a grasp on it before. But then you start seeing all the nuanced problems with when you're doing estate planning and putting everything together. And so that was kind of an eye-opening experience for me, was how many people just go and do this themselves and not realize, like, it's more than just paper. You know, it's, there's a lot of other things that are going on in the background. And then of course the next steps are you have to execute everything. You got to get it signed. And so we do what's called a review and sign. I don't know why attorneys still do this, but they'll send the documents to people and say, read them. No, no one's going to read them. No one does. So like I actually sit and go through the documents with the client to explain it. Like, this is what this does. This is why you're doing this. Is this what you want? And then we sign it. But then there's the back end, which also seems to be lost on attorneys, like is helping everybody get everything set up so it actually comes together. Because you can sign documents all day, but it's just paper. You actually have to do it. So there's that process that we go through, which is about 5 steps, which I try to work people through. And then we get everything put together and execute it the way that they want, whatever their goals or objectives are.
Let's take a quick break and hear from today's show sponsor.
Our sponsor today is Uplift Desks, creators of the best office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. Visit upliftdesk.com/mindcast for 5% off your order. And if you sit all day while you work and you've never tried a desk that can transition between sitting and standing, this is a complete game changer for you. My standing desk is by Uplift Desk. It's what I use every day to record the show, to do my office work. And I gotta say, the transition from sitting all day to standing while I work at various times throughout the day has really made a noticeable difference. When I'm standing, I notice that my energy is up, I'm way more focused and productive, I'm an alert, and I even have a little standing treadmill under my desk now, which allows me to get some extra steps in while plugging away on calls and work. It keeps the blood flowing throughout the day, which we all know can reduce all types of inflammation, different health risks, repetitive strain, and I noticed that my posture has drastically improved since switching to Uplift Desk as well, because I'm not hunched over a computer all day. And while there's a lot of options out there, the reason I chose Uplift Desk is because of the quality. It doesn't wobble, it's completely stable, it's built to last, and you can tell based on the materials that they use, and they are customizable too. Uplift Desk lets you build your custom dream desk by choosing from over 100 desktop choices and hundreds of accessories, so you can build the perfect workspace for yourself using their fun-to-use desk configurator. Now, once you have your desk designed and ordered, they ship the same day. You get free shipping. They do free returns with free return shipping. And the best part is they have an industry-leading 15-year warranty that covers the complete desk, which to me was a big deal, and it shows that they stand behind their product. Now, to get yours, go to upliftdesk.com/mindcast for 5% off your order. That's upliftdesk.com/mindcast to get 5% off your entire order. Yep. Now, for a lot of people, you know, tax mitigation, you know, how they structure their businesses, things along those lines all somewhat tie into your estate plan as well. Would you agree?
Yeah. So I talk to people a lot about different things. There's, I mean, certain things as attorneys we can do, and there's certain things that are better, of course, that your CPA does. And some attorneys are CPAs, and so they work very heavily in that, because a lot of tax, income tax planning is yearly. You have to constantly be up to date on it. And I'm sure many of your clients deal with this problem. But one big area for attorneys is when we do some type of capital gains tax planning, because you're going to sell a large asset. So attorneys can be very helpful in that situation. We just had one last week where the clients came in, they inherited a property back in 1995. And they were like, well, what can we do? And so we went through, well, you can do like a 1031 exchange. You can do charitable remainder trusts. You can do what are called CRUTs and CRATs and a lot of boring stuff when we get into it. But then also I had a financial advisor sit in, and I wasn't aware of opportunity zones. I had not really heard very much about it. And he went into opportunity zones and about how they could invest in opportunity zones. And after 10 years, they wouldn't pay anything on the capital gains tax if they kept it in those investments. And I was kind of blown away. I was like, oh, wow, that's a great option that was available that I wasn't aware of that came about with Trump's
yep.
Secure Act. And so there's things that I even learn all the time that are in different areas. But yes, a lot of capital gains tax planning when assets are being sold. You do not want to wait until you're going to sell like a large piece of land and then go, okay, I'll go see the attorney. Because a lot of the planning with the IRS requires that you set this up beforehand. Mm-hmm. You're not anticipating a sale, setting up a charitable remainder trust just to avoid the tax.
Yeah.
And so that is a lot of planning that you could put in my book that I've, it's my most popular book. I've written 5 books, but by do I need a will or a trust? I go through, okay, these trusts, they save on capital gains tax. These are the trusts that are designed to help with income tax. These are the trusts that help with the estate tax. And so, because we use trusts to talk about all those things,
mm-hmm.
but some are focused on certain areas of what you're trying to accomplish. So yeah, it gets very complicated in those type of things, but usually almost all my clients, when they come in, I save them more money than they pay me by far.
Yeah.
Just because we sit down and we go, okay, let's restructure this business this way. And it's going to save you, $4,000 a year on taxes. Simple things like that, that can yep. be done in just putting it together correctly. And you're a business owner. I'm sure you're very well aware of the nightmare of dealing with taxes.
Yeah. I mean, it's often an overlooked thing, honestly. You know, most people are always just focused on making more money to cover that versus, you know, obviously you can be very proactive and strategic with how you mitigate your taxes by being proactive on the front end instead of, you know, trying to mitigate on the back end. And obviously, you know, what you do is a big part of not only protecting assets and those income streams, but also how you set it up in terms of minimizing your tax liabilities through those proactive estate planning strategies. If you go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, if you were to give people kind of a baseline idea of cost, right? And what the timeline, the cost of these things at a bare minimum level. I know obviously you're meeting each person as to where they're at, their situation, their goals, and obviously kind of everything in their world and how that ties into what you do. What would be a good rule of thumb that people, you know, should be thinking about or wrapping their head around when it comes to a cost and a timeline for doing it the right way?
Yeah, well, I was on Reddit the other day and someone was commenting like, hey, I went into this attorney and just to do a basic revocable living trust package, he wanted $7,000. And I was like, man, I charge way too little. Mine is for the basics. I charge $3,500 usually for basic planning. The people that just don't need a ton of stuff.
Yep.
I have attorneys in my office that do less for people that have smaller assets and different things like that. We're trying to get things done for people. But it's hard for people to quote you because really it's what value is going to be offered to you. Because if you're getting an attorney that's going to do tax planning for you and he's going to figure out, oh, I can save you over the next decade, $100,000 in taxes. Well, and he wants $10,000. It's far better to pay that $10,000 than just going into some attorney and say, I'll do it cheap for, $2,000. You know, it's like, you got to think about what you're getting value-wise out of that. But it really depends a lot on your situation,
Yeah.
I have someone who's doesn't have a lot of assets. I'm going to try to help them get things done versus going, I got to make a bunch of money. Like there's some attorneys that say, hey, I have a minimum. If you don't meet my minimum, I'm not going to listen to you. Well, I didn't do 10,000 estate plans by charging a fortune to everybody. I worked with people with what they needed and tried to help them out the best I can because I feel like it's my job. But also, if you walk in with a bunch of assets and want me to take the risk of drafting everything for you, because that's one thing people don't get is, okay, you can go online, you can use LegalZoom, you can use the online version, but that's not insuring anything. Like you're ensuring your own stuff that you did it right. When you walk into an attorney's office, I've had to show up at court and defend things before. Like, I'm the insurance policy. Mm-hmm. My name is on everything. You know, I do probates still to this day. I could run a pure estate planning practice where I just sit and do estate plans all day. But I go to the probate court so the judge knows me, because when my name's on the document, I want them to realize that's Taylor Willingham. And if we just overturn his will, he's not going to be very happy with us, you know? And so you have to kind of understand that you're buying like an insurance policy when you're going to an attorney. So yeah. If you have a large estate, I got a client come in once. They drove up. I saw them get out of their car out of my window. And it was literally, it was like a 1992 Corolla. And I was like, barely. And two elderly people get out. They look like they're in rags. They come into my office and they're like, yeah, we just want a will. We just want a cheap will. And after sitting down with them and going through their assets, they were worth $80 million.
Oof.
I know. And I was like, they're from Romania. They had developed this mindset. They did not spend anything. And they're two doctors. Both of them were doctors. And so they had saved everything and just invested wisely. And I was like, I can't do your estate for a cheap will, because I'm going to get sued by your kids, you know, when they pay $30 million in taxes, because I didn't try to convince you guys to do some tax planning. And he's like, you're just trying to rip me off, and stormed out of my office. And I was like, I'm not going to take on that liability. That
did they ever come back to you, or that was the last you saw of them?
That was the last I ever saw of them. And, you know, and I hopefully they got help with somebody. Hopefully someone talked some sense into them. But at that point, I was like, no, that's a huge risk for an attorney to take on.
I was going to ask what some of your like best case studies have been of, you know, your holy grail of an estate plan that worked just to a T. And that's like you point to that of like, that's why we do that. Or maybe even the opposite, right? Of like, man, if they would have just done this, they would have avoided X. You know, those real life examples are for people when you share them.
Yeah. So there's one I think of often, and that was, her name was Wanda. She used to come in probably every year, every other year. And she always told me, I want to leave everything equally to my kids. I know that they're going to fight. I want it always to go equally. And then one time she shows up in a wheelchair with an oxygen tank and one of her kids. And he sat in front of me and was like, my mom here, she wants the farm to go to me, which is the farm was the largest part of the assets. And so I was like, well, I need to talk to her by herself. And I talked to her by herself, and she wasn't all there. And because I knew her from before, I knew she was very strong-willed.
And even she wasn't under conservatorship yet?
No, she was not. And she was like, you know, he's taking care of me. He should probably get the farm. And I want it to go to him. And I just pulled him back in and I said, you know what? I've known your mom for a long time. And she's always told me this same thing. I'm not going to do it. He even offered me 10 grand if I would just do it.
Wow.
I said, no, I'm not going to do it. Well, she passed away about 3 or 4 months later, and I had to go to court. And when I was, you know, I had to give the testimony of what happened. You know, I remember Judge Copeland going through and just asking me the questions. And ultimately he ruled that the property stood to be, because he found another attorney to do it. And it was to be divided equally. And I attribute, like, you know, that was because of Wanda. She took it seriously. She came in, but I went and I gave the testimony and I did everything because she was my client. But that's what you're paying for. That's why you go to an attorney and you say, this is my attorney. I want them to be there. Mm-hmm. I want them to stand by my side. But that's one example of making sure that it's done right. And ultimately, the other kids were grateful.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
I can imagine. Now, what about on the other side? Have you seen any just absolute horror stories or gut-wrenching stories of didn't have to be that way? Are you interested in boosting your income by an extra $50,000 this year? If so, you're going to love what I've got in store for you. I am beyond excited to officially announce an incredible opportunity to join me in my exclusive mastermind, which will include myself and 25 other hand-selected investors who are actively pursuing commercial real estate in 2024 and want to be held accountable to making sure they buy their first or their next commercial real estate investment property that will net them a minimum of $50,000 a year. This mastermind group will not only teach you how to do that, how to find, how to analyze, how to structure and buy these types of commercial real estate investment properties, but you'll also have an opportunity to be a part of an intimate group of high achievers that are going to take your network and your resources to a whole nother level. But here's the catch. Like I mentioned before, this is exclusive. We're only selecting 25 ambitious individuals for our founding members group who are serious and ready to take that next step in their commercial real estate investing journey. So if you are ready to increase your passive income by at least $50,000 in the next year with commercial real estate investing, then this is your moment. These spaces are gonna fill up fast. And trust me, this is the one and only time to be a founding member, which comes with some pretty special benefits. So head over to myfirst50k.com and submit your application now. Again, that's myfirst50k.com. You can head over there, check out the program, see everything that it entails, submit your application to join, and I can't wait to connect with you soon.
Yeah. One particular was I had this young woman. She was from the Philippines. She had in tow. She had this little baby, and her husband had just died. He was much older than her, and she was actually about the age of the other kids. And so she comes to my office and goes, "Oh, well, he had a massive heart attack. We just got married 2 years ago. What am I getting? Like, what's going on? I don't know what's going to happen." And I'm like, "Well, did he have a will?" And she goes, "Well, he had a will from when he was married to his other wife." And his other wife, of course, they were disinherited, but that's the will we had to probate, which it created all type of problems. But, you know, we were going through everything. I'm like, "Well, are you the beneficiary on the bank accounts at least?" And she goes, "There's a few that I am, but I don't know about his 401k, which is most of the money." And it's about, I think, about $800,000. And she was shocked to find out the ex-wife was still the beneficiary.
Oh.
And under federal law, under Texas state law, if an ex-wife is listed as beneficiary, they're crossed out. But federal law, we haven't made a law like that yet.
Mm.
So ex-wife, who had sued him like four times, she got the whole $800,000. And she lost every one of those lawsuits, by the way. And then we had to probate the estate, which was the other disaster. In the state of Texas, this is in every state. But if you're a blended family, meaning you have children outside of the marriage, your community property does not go to the spouse, it goes to the children. So in separate property, she was only going to get a 1/3 life estate in the house because it was separate property. So I was like, "Well, you're not going to inherit the home. It goes to his kids." Well, she had one of them. So, but I'm like, "The other kids, you get a homestead, right? Meaning you can live there for the remainder of your life." So that was a shock to her. And you know, this is a young woman that's an immigrant. I mean, She immigrated to the United States. And so finding out she kind of lived a high life to, "Oh my gosh, everything's kind of falling apart here. I'm really left almost nothing."
Yeah.
And so it was just like, I felt bad for her because every time we turned around, nothing was done. It was done wrong. We show up at the hearing. That's when we learn about the will, and the wife shows up and goes, ex-wife shows up and goes, "I'm getting everything." And the judge was like, "Well, you don't inherit in the state of Texas, but whoever the subsequent beneficiaries are there do inherit." And so after all said and done, it was just one thing after another. And I felt so bad because everything was easily avoidable.
Yeah, that's crazy. And you brought up something that kind of, I think it's an important thing for people to consider thinking about. Just because you do it once doesn't mean that it's good forever. And that's a perfect example of why. How often do you suggest revisiting and or updating, or what is the ongoing maintenance of your estate plan look like in a perfect world?
In a perfect world, you review it, you pick it out and you look at it and read through. Most attorney drafted estate plans today are very well organized. We put almost all the important stuff in the first three pages, first 3 to 5 pages, depends on the document. It's drafted that way. So, because most people will read through their documents and get a couple pages in and go, forget this. You know, I'm not going to read this whole document. So usually if we can get you through the first couple of pages, but finding, is this the distribution? It isn't so much, I tell people like, oh, you should come in every year or every 2 or 3 years. More importantly, it is when do things change?
Yeah.
For example, you know, when your kid turns 18, you no longer have the authority to know their medical information and you do not have the rights to make their medical decisions for them. So you need to go back and get a medical power of attorney over your kid. You also should have a financial power of attorney when they turn 18 because you basically are their finances.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure that, you know, if certain things change, like relationships, kids start behaving in certain ways, well, you probably should go talk to your estate planning attorney, be like, hey, I don't want just property going to this kid because they, you know, developed a drug addiction or just been arrested for certain things because, you know, there are certain consequences in certain states for felons to get guns. And so there are all type of things. It's really when things change in your life a significant way, that's when you should be focusing on, okay, I should go and just talk. You know, most attorneys, they'll charge you a couple $100 to do a consultation, but it's worth it. You know, it's like, now you know, okay, it's set up correctly.
Yeah, 100%. Now, I know a lot of people are going to want to connect with you. They're going to want to know more about your business, what you guys have to offer. What is the best place for them to do that?
So I have my webpage. It's my name, taylorwillingham.com. I'm a Texas attorney. So I tell people, understand this one thing is like, I can help people in Texas. I can do everything in Texas. I generally will refer you to somebody in another state if you live there primarily, because I want that person to get the best advice that they can. And so I know a bunch of attorneys in other states and I'll be like, okay, this is somebody that you should go to. So Texas, I can help you if you're here. Sometimes people just call and just want me to give them general advice from other states. Like, hey, you know, I was told this, should I be doing this? Sometimes I know a lot of things are similar, but a lot of times I have to tell people, you got to really just talk to somebody in your state. Because I do a lot of what is referred to as elder law, which is long-term care planning. And it's very state specific. And so I encourage people, you find a good attorney in your state and ideally in your county.
Yeah.
Because if you have to go through probate, you're going to go to the probate judge of your county and you want that attorney to know that judge.
Yeah.
And so that's the best advice I can give you in finding somebody. But if you're here in Texas, I can help you out.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, obviously a lot of what we talked about today is a macro approach. And then obviously meeting people where they're at, whether that's their specific life situation, what season of life they're in, you know, what they're trying to mitigate against. And like you said, location, you know, all of those kind of things, state, countywide, you know, laws that you need to be aware of. So good reminders there. As we wrap up, I'm just curious on your thoughts around, you know, succession and legacy and how to utilize the tool that you play in so well and with so much to really do that successfully. So many people pass on and do it properly, and yet the next generation gets all screwed up by it or completely ends up being a bad thing for them. What are your thoughts around how to mitigate those downsides and really leverage what you're doing to create succession in a successful, healthy, productive manner, which is what most people want with the intention of setting these things up in the first place?
Yes. So I'm going to turn it to you. Have you really sat down and thought about what legacy you want to leave?
I have.
Okay. And what would you like to be remembered by?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's my immediate impact through my family unit and what my family unit does within our community. And then obviously from a macro perspective, what we do in the industry of what I do, which is, you know, real estate investment and wealth building.
And then once you sit down and I identify those things, have you put things in place in writing to kind of lay out what would happen if something happened to you?
I have not. I haven't got that far yet.
Okay. So that's the next. You have kids?
Yeah, I got two daughters and expecting a third.
And a third. Okay. They're young still, right?
Yeah, 9 and 6.
Okay. Yeah, you look young. So I was figuring that you still have young kids and stuff. So that'd be the next step is you and your wife need to sit down and write it out. And then also understand that, okay, you got your estate planning, but you have a lot of businesses. And I imagine you're probably a lot like me. I have 5 kids, so you're nice. A lot like me. your wife would have no idea.
Yeah.
If something happened to you, where to even start?
Mm-hmm.
And so I tell people a lot, like, okay, you're going to do a date night and you're going to go and you're going to just go on a date and you're going to just sit and eat and you're going to start writing out and telling, okay, here's this, here's this, here's this. And ideally, if you can type it up and send her an email, because people will archive their emails all day long.
Yep.
You just archive this email. I'm going to explain how things are working. And then one of the biggest things you can do and set up is going to be access to passwords.
Yep.
Setting up like they have one password that you can use. They have different places. So if something happens to you, she can get access to it. And then of course you guys got to think of both you pass away, but there's a huge thing if you pass away because you have all these business things that are going on and different things and putting all that together for her and just outlining what you would do. Like, and that's hard sometimes when you're sitting down and you really think about it. It's like, oh my gosh, this is overwhelming. But you know, this year I hired a consulting company to help me with my law firm because I struggle with management. And they kept going, where's your SOP? And I was like, SOP. I'm like, I don't know, what is that? I was like, your standard operating procedures. And I was like, well, I think there's a file somewhere. Like I had like no idea of like what to do. And like, and I was like, oh, basically this is like the estate planning I should have been doing for my business.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. And it's like, I do not. And I go, oh, no wonder my employees are confused all the time because it's all in my head. I'm like, oh, I just tell people what to do and different things like that. And it hasn't worked well for me for a long time. So creating like, hey, and creating that and putting that down. And so this year I've been spending the last 2 months writing standard operating procedures. This is how you do this, filming videos, like this is how you do this. And you kind of have to do that for yourself. You're going to have to sit down because it can happen and you can pass away at any time.
Yep.
And if that happens, there's so many. I mean, the doctor across the street during COVID, he died right in the middle of the day. Nurse walks over to our office going, we have no idea what to do. Like, we have no access to anything. He controlled all passwords for everything. We have no way to get paid. We have clients, you know, it was during COVID. It was like crisis time happening.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had to go get a temporary emergency probate done for him so we could get access to everything. So his brother basically had to quit his job to come run his practice for 3 months.
Wow.
To get everything wrapped up. But it was law. By the time all the nurses, everybody left because he didn't do it, and his business became almost worthless.
Wow.
And if he would have just had a few things in place, his wife or brother would have been able just to walk in and be able to do things, but it became such a disaster because none of the employees could do anything.
Yeah. We spend, at least I know the successful people spend a lot of time on getting clarity in their vision of what they're going to do while they're alive. I think as you're bringing to my attention, you know, making sure that you give that energy and focus to what it looks like after you pass on and who's going to take that baton and continue to run around the track and, you know, keep that that legacy alive is just as important. So Taylor, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today, brother. Thank you for coming on and dropping some great wisdom and insights for us, and definitely got me thinking on some stuff I need to retool in my world and also just some stuff that I need to get after. So thank you for that. And thank you for coming on the show.
All right. Thanks, Matt. It was great.
Well, that wraps up this week's episode. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that interview. And if you did, all I ask is that you take 2 minutes and leave a review in iTunes, where by doing so, you're also going to get entered in to win a $100 gift card. Don't forget to share this episode out with somebody else that may need to hear it or may get some value from what was talked about in today's interview. And for those of you who are really looking to accelerate your wealth building journey, you want to unlock more financial freedom, you want to get more time back, or maybe you just want to level up your life, your business, your finances, be sure to head over to MillionaireMindcast.com and check out all the amazing products and resources that we have for our Millionaire Mindcast family, whether that's one-on-one coaching with me, mastermind events, downloads and checklists, the Rich Life Planner for those of you looking to take your goal setting and productivity to the next level. We've got all kinds of great, valuable tools. So be sure to check those out at MillionaireMindcast.com. And last but not least, if you're not on my weekly text letter and you want to be the first to know of exclusive updates and offers, in addition to behind the scenes access to a lot of the stuff that I'm doing, that I'm investing in, be sure to join by texting the word notes to 844-447-1555. With that being said, thanks for listening today. Until next time, keep investing in yourself and your wealth on your march to a million and beyond. Cheers, my friends.